And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. This is the Old Testament prophecy concerning that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. There's so much there that's so powerful. And what we're doing now these days until after the 12 days of Christmas, we're just contemplating the whole Christ event in terms of Advent and His coming. And not only to just talk about the fact that He's come and His love for us and incarnation realities, but just all the events, all the little details, we're just going to ponder and just discern some things about the ways of God, the personality of God, and the purposes of God for us. One of the fascinating places to me in Scripture concerning Advent and the approaching days of Christ is in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, it says, verse 1, "Now it came about in those days that there was a decree that went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth." And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. This role that Caesar Augustus played in the purposes of God has always fascinated me. Because here you have the situation. You have Mary and Joseph, two really poor people, young poor people, who are living in Nazareth. But the prophecy says that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And so it's really important that they travel and get to Bethlehem. But she's very, very pregnant. And so there's no reason for her to travel that distance. It wasn't going to be a plane flight or a comfortable car ride. It was going to be mule and foot. And so no sane person would inconvenience themselves and put themselves to that kind of risk. But what happened is it says, now it came about. Let me just say this to you. Nothing just comes about. I remind you of this verse again and again, and I'm quite aware that there's a devil on the earth. But the devil is not equal to God. So he's free to do all kinds of stuff, and God just sows all the things that he does into his purposes. And so again, the vision that John had, the encounter that he had, that I think was a normal one for him in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 4, is that he saw Christ high and lifted up on a throne. And Christ invited him to come to hear something. And he said, in the midst of all these things that go on the earth that are full of chaos, I'm going to tell you what must take place. From that position of sovereign authority. So the truth is, God put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to call for registration. Now here's the deal that's going on with Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus was the first Caesar who declared himself by decree from the Senate that he was deity, that he was divine, that he was God. And so Caesar Augustus had a desire to expand his kingdom. And he wanted to build statues of himself all over Rome and other places because he's now to be worshipped. So his desire was to be worshipped, not a very good desire, not one that holy God is probably very pleased with. And so what happens is, in his desire to be worshipped, he knew he needed taxes. And so he wanted to raise taxes, and he therefore needed to know how many people was under Roman rule. So he had them all go back to their original ancestral hometown to register so that he could know exactly who he could tax. So everybody all over the Roman Empire went back to their ancestral hometown to create some kind of order so Caesar Augustus would know how many worshipers he had and how much money he could tax to build statues of himself to be worshipped and to spread his kingdom. So out of this desire to be worshipped, Caesar Augustus signed basically a tax bill, which pushed a couple of poor young people out of Nazareth to make an uncomfortable trip to Bethlehem, where they'd give a birth to a poor child whom the whole world would end up worshiping. Now, the interesting thing to me is this, and we'll talk about this for the next day or so, not exactly the same scripture, but this idea. And that is, I don't know about you, if you've ever felt very small in terms of the purposes of God, and just kind of tossed about by circumstances that you don't really have any control of. And then you do what we do. We read the internet. We read books. We do all these kind of things about all these spiritual giants. We find ourselves wishing that we had significance before God like they do. One of the things I was telling somebody yesterday, I believe this is true, what Mike Bickle says. Bickle said when he was a young man, he would read all these things about some of the spiritual giants, and often it would make him feel guilty. But then he came to realize that most of the people that wrote those books were people who were enamored with that spiritual giant, and they never put the whole story. And the whole story looks a lot like your story and my story. They had failures, and they messed up just like we do. And every person I know struggles with their issues of self-image, because that's what we're born with as a result of the fall. But the truth is about Mary and Joseph, even though they were very little in the eyes of the world, they didn't have much at all. They were poor people. When they offered Jesus, when dedicated him when he was 8 days old, they, when he was like 2 months old, they offered a pigeon because that was the offering of the poor. So they were among the poor. And so they weren't very significant in the eyes of anybody. But you need to hear this. They had heard from God. God had spoken something into both of their lives. Joseph was reluctant to hear it at first. What appeared to be a total disaster, and what looked like to 95% of the people around them that knew them and knew of them, looked like a total disaster. She's pregnant out of wedlock. And they looked like a total disaster, poor, failures, immoral. Joseph's even breaking the law by staying with her, not having her stoned to death. But they had heard God, and they knew that their lives were relevant. It may not be relevant to anybody else, but they knew that their lives were relevant. And all they could do is just trust God. What do you do with that? When you know, see, everybody should hear God speak to them, because there's not one person who's ever lived inside of God that is more important to him than you are. You're not just a little person, some little poor person who's insignificant to God and his purposes. Every one of you is irrelevant to God as the most famous Christian who's ever lived. We've met them in Africa. The poorest of the poor that no one's ever heard of, but God's used them to shape history in their countries just through their prayers and their little dung huts. Mary and Joseph had heard God, which makes all the difference in the world, because then your self-image is not determined by what goes on around you. And then God puts it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to call for this thing. It was a dark thing. It was an evil thing. And it moved these two people, these poor people, into the position where God's purposes could be fulfilled through their life, which obviously has impacted a lot of people. Here's the thing we need to hear. You may be in the middle of situations and circumstances even today that don't make sense to you, that seem to be very inconvenient to you, that was inconvenient for them. There may be all kinds of things going on in your life. They didn't get up. Maybe they hadn't figured that out. They didn't get up and go to Bethlehem because they thought, you know, we know this is going to be the Messiah. We need to get to Bethlehem. Evidently, they didn't get that scripture. So God used an ungodly person with ungodly motives and ungodly desires and designs to send them where they needed to be so God's purposes could be birthed in their life. Amen. Every person needs to know, no matter how little you think you are and how much you think you're being moved around by other people's decisions that aren't necessarily godly, God is in control. And you just need to trust him. Because when he's said and done and all this movement and change and stuff that people do to you, if you'll just trust him, you'll find out that in that situation, in those circumstances, God's going to give birth to purposes. If you can hear God speak to you how significant you are to him, then you won't trust, you won't question that no matter what's going around. You know that God's in control. He loves you. You're significant to him. There are no little people to God. And he's going to birth purposes that have eternal impact, even if you can't understand it. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.